The 10th parak is all about the Minchas HaOmer. What's the Minchas HaOmer? This was the Korban Mincha that was brought on the 16th day of Nisan. When's the 16th day of Nisan? That is the second day of Pesach. So it worked like this. First day of Pesach is Yontif. And on Motzei Yontif, they got into motion in going out and harvesting the barley that they would use for this Minchas HaOmer. They would go, they would harvest it, they would grind it into flour, barley flour, they would remove the impurities, because this was used as this the Korban Minchas HaOmer the next day, in the morning. So that's, they had to get it all ready for that. So we're going to start out with Mishnah Aleph, discussing the gross amount of grain that they used to harvest on Motzei Yontif in order to achieve the necessary amount of high quality fine flour, barley flour that was necessary. So they used to sift it down to one isaron. That's what they needed as the net amount, and one isaron is 1/10 of an epha. So Rabbi Yishmael Omer, HaOmer, HaYaba B'Shabbos Mishalos Se'in, if the 16th of Nisan falls on Shabbos, which means the first day of Pesach, the Yontif of Pesach was Thursday night, Friday, and then the 16th was on Shabbos. So still, because it is a korban for a tzibor, it's a public communal korban that has a set time, it is Doche Shabbos. So this would happen even on Shabbos. They would go out on Friday night, and they would go and harvest the grain. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, because it's Shabbos, we still want to diminish a little bit the malacha that's being done on Shabbos. So Rabbi Shmuel tells us that the Omer, if it falls on Shabbos, you would harvest a gross amount of 3 se'ah of barley. If it was uvachol mechamesh, if it wasn't on Shabbos, if the 16th was on a weekday, you would harvest more, you would harvest 5 se'ah of barley in order to grind it and sift it down to that 1/10 of an epha that you needed. V'chachamim omrim, chachamim are the view, we standardize whether it's Shabbos or Chol Echad b'Shabbos ve'echad b'chol, mishalosh hayaba, whether the 16th of Nisan, that is the second day of Pesach, falls on Shabbos or not, regardless, they would harvest 3 se'ah, and they would use that, they would harvest it, they would sift it, etc., all the way to get down to 1/10 of an epha. Now we're going to have a similar machlokes as to harvesting the barley for the Korban HaOmer as follows. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer B'Shabbos Haya Niktzar B'Yachid. So Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim is following suit like Rabbi Shmuel, that when the 16th day is on Shabbos, we want to decrease malacha in other ways as well. So he says as follows, that when it fell on Shabbos, you would do the ktsira, that is the harvesting, with only one person doing the harvesting, b'magal achad, and he would use 1 sickle. So 1 person, 1 sickle, we don't want more people doing malacha. And in addition, ubekupa achas, and we put it all into one container. We want to really limit things as much as possible. So 1 person doing malacha with only 1 sickle and only in 1 container, because when you're carrying it, hotzah is an isser d'oraisa, but this is overrides it, but still it overrides the isser of Shabbos, but we want to do as little malacha as possible. So put it in only 1 container, because when you're carrying it, you're carrying is an isser, so you want to make sure to only carry 1 container, not more than that. Continues Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, but behold, however, if the 16th of Nisan fell on a weekday, then we did it with much splendor. So Bishlosha, we'd have 3 people doing the harvesting, a lot more people. We want to make a large statement here that we're doing the mitzvah, and the mitzvah is to be done in its proper time, its required time on the 16th of Nisan. We will explain that, and it's coming up to Mishnah Gimel in a little bit more detail, why it was so important to publicize the proper day that the mitzvah was done. So it would be done with 3 people, l'b'sholash kupa, l'b'sholash magalot, they would have 3 containers. Each person would have his own container to put what he harvested in, and each one would have his own sickle. So we have, again, that distinction between Shabbos and Yontov, according to Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. But again, Chachamim disagree. V'chachamim omrim, we standardize whether it's Shabbos or Yontov, v'echad b'Shabbos, v'echad b'chol, whether it's Shabbos or Chol, the 16th of Nisan, it doesn't matter we would do the same thing. B'shlosha would be three people that are harvesting. U'b'shalosh kupot, and each one would have their own kupa, their own container to put the barley in. U'b'shalosh magolos, and also we would have each of them having their own sickle, because of the need to publicize the proper date to do the mitzvah is on the 16th of Nisan, as we'll see that there was the stukim of Baitosim, those that only held by Torah, Shebichlav, not Torah, Shebaal Peh, who had a different date, and accordingly, to prove that they were incorrect, we really wanted to publicize, even if it was on Shabbos, the publicity, we want to do the mitzvah in its full way, meaning three people, each one having a sickle, each one having its own container, because we really want to stress that this is the proper date that the Korban HaOmer had to be prepared and brought. Mishnah Beis discusses where the barley was from that was harvested on Motzei Yontif. The Mishnah says as follows, Mitzvah HaOmer lavo min hakarov. The mitzvah is to bring the Omer, the barley, and from there the barley flour to be brought as the Korban HaOmer, to bring it from close. Close to what? Close to Yerushalayim. The closer fields were what were preferred. There's a concept of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvah. So Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvah is dictated from the closest proper ripe fields they would take the barley from. But Lo Biker HaKarov LiYerushalayim, if the fields, if the barley in the fields had not ripened that were closer to Yerushalayim, then Mivin Oso Mikomakam, they can bring it from any other place. They would go further out until they found ripened barley that they would use for the Korban HaOmer. Maase Sheba Migago Tzrifin, there was one time they couldn't find anywhere close to Yerushalayim, and they had to bring it all the way from a place called Gago Tzrifim, and the Shtei HaLechem that is brought on Shavuos. They didn't find ripened wheat fields at that time. If they had to go as far as Mibigat Ein Socher, which is much further out, and the explanation, the Bartanur explains on a high level that the fields close to Yerushalayim had been destroyed by armies, so that's why they had to look further out. What was going on at that time is it was the time of the effectively the civil war, initially the civil war between Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, two brothers who were fighting for the throne. And unfortunately, Hyrcanus enlisted the help of the Roman general Pompey, and that led to a siege of Yerushalayim and destruction of the various grain fields, the barley fields, the wheat fields. And accordingly, that year specifically, they had to search further out for barley, and that was barley for the Korban HaMincha, the Minchas HaOmer, and then they had to go even further out to find the wheat that was necessary for the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos. Mishnah Gimel asks, Ketzad HaYuosim, how would they do the harvesting of the barley? But before answering the question, we need a little bit background. So the Pasuk tells us that the date that this would occur is Mimacharat HaShabbat, which means literally the day after Shabbos, but we have a tradition, the Torah Sheba'al Peh explains to us, it's not talking about literally the day after Shabbos, a Sunday, but rather it means the day after the first day of Yontif. So the second day of Pesach is what it's talking about, a Shabbos here in the Pasuk. Mimacharat HaShabbat is not talking about Shabbos, literally. That Shabbos is the first day of Yontif. So the Ketzad HaYuosim, the harvesting, was done on the day after the first day of Yontif. So the 16th of Nisan is the day. The problem that we have to grapple with, unfortunately, historically, is that there were certain Jews that were strict about Torah Shebichsav, but not Torah Shebaal Peh, and they didn't hold by Torah Shebaal Peh at all, in particular the Tzdukim and the Baitosim, and they interpreted that the harvesting of the and the whole bringing of the Korban HaOmer, the Minchas HaOmer, was to be done literally the day after Shabbos, which means the Sunday of Pesach. So the Sunday after the first Shabbos in Pesach would be Sunday, and then Motzei Shabbos is when they were of the view, literally the real Shabbos, the Motzei Shabbos is when they would harvest. So because they were causing such problems with their explanation of the Pasuk and when this mitzvah should be, so we're going to see in our Mishnah that Chazal instituted that when we do the mitzvah at its proper time, which is on Motzei Yontif, we're going to do it with a lot of fanfare. And we're going to really be mefarsem. We're really you're going to want to publicize the proper day to do the harvesting and the bringing of the Minchas HaOmer to directly contradict the view of the Tzedukim and Beit Osim. So accordingly, the Mishnah says as follows, Ketzad Hayosim, how would they harvest the barley in order to refine it and sift it and to have it ready for the next morning to bring it as the Korban Mincha, Shluchei based in Yotzim Erev Yontzif. So what they had to do is they would prepare in order to locate the barley fields that they would harvest on Motzei Yontzif. They prepared and looked. That's the messengers of the Beis Din went out on Erev Yontzif. So this is on Erev Pesach to find the barley that they would be using on Motzei Yontzif. The Osin also krichos b'muchubar lakarka, and in order to prepare it, they would make bundles of it, so they would tie it together while it was still attached to the ground, which would greatly facilitate the harvesting. Kadeshiyei noach liktzor, it made it much easier when you harvested, you would just cut it off, and it was already in the bundles, then they would simply take the bundles up to Yerushalayim where it was treated, it was purified, it was ground, etc., sifted in order to get the necessary fine barley flour necessary for the korban. So accordingly, they located the fields where they would be taking the barley from, v'chol ha'ayaros ha'smuchos l'shem, and all of the towns, all the cities close to there, mitkan sos l'shem, they would get together. So towards the end of the first day of Pesach, they would be ready for Motzei Yontzif for the harvesting. Kadeshiyei niktzar be'esek gadol, because they wanted the harvesting to be done with an esek gadol, which means a lot of fanfare, a lot of publicity, in order to show the Tzedukim and Beit Osim that indeed the proper time to do the harvesting and to bring that korban is Motzei Yontzif of the first day of Yontzif. In other words, on the second day of Pesach and not on Motzei Shabbos of Pesach. Kevan Shechashcha. So that very day, that at the end of the first day of Pesach, leading into the second day of Pesach, once it became dark, so now it's the end of Yontif, Omer Lahem, the harvester, ready to go, would say to the crowd which had gathered together, Bahashemesh, he would ask them, has the sun set? Is Yontif over? And they would say, Omrim Hen, and they would respond, yes. He knew just as well as they did, but this is part of the communication and the publicity that we want in order to really have a lot of excitement, a lot of conversation, really to publicize that we are doing this in a very public way. Bahashemesh, Omrim Hen, and he would ask a second time, has the sun set? And they again would respond, yes. This was done three times, and each of the conversations that we're going to have between the harvesters and the crowd there is going to be three times. So he's going to ask again now, Magal Zo, should I use this sickle? Because we're about to do this. Not like the Tzedukim and Beit Osim say, don't do it now. We're doing it on the wrong day. Should I use this sickle, Omri Man? And they would respond, yes. Magal Ze. Second time he would say, should I use this sickle? And they would respond, Omri Man. They would respond, and this was done a third time as well. And then he would ask another question, Kupa Zo, should I use this basket, this container to put the barley into, Omrim Hen? They would say, yes, Kupa Zo, Omrim Hen. And they responded again. That was done three times as well. And if it was Shabbos, an additional question was added in. B'Shabbos, Omerla, and Shabbos, are you really sure you want me to do this on Shabbos? Should I be harvesting on Shabbos? And Omrim Hen, they would say, yes, that's the mitzvah. Because this is a korban of the tzibur that has a set time, it's Docha Shabbos. And then he would ask a second time, Shabbos, though? Omri Man, they would respond, yes, and it would happen a third time as well. And then continuing every year, whether it was Shabbos or not, Ektzor, so, should I harvest now? V'hem Omri Mlo Ktzor, yes, go ahead, harvest. Ektzor, he asks as follows, should I harvest? V'hem Omri Mlo Ktzor, and they say again, and this happened three times as well, Shalosh Ba'amim Al Kol Davar Davar, he asked, or the harvesters asked three times on each every item that was in this conversation, and the crowd would respond three times as well. V'hem Omri Mlo, hen, for Kol Kach Lamasu, why did they do all of this conversation, all this back and forth, three times on each? Nibnei HaBaitosim, because of those Baitosim and the Tzokim, that were of the view that this is the wrong day. Chayomrim Enktrius HaOmer B'Motzei Yomtov, they were of the view that you don't harvest the Omer, you don't harvest the barley on Motzei Yomtov, but rather on Motzei Shabbos. We're coming to say that that is not the case. We're publicizing how incorrect the Tzokim and the Baitosim were. Mishnah Daled continues the preparation of the fine flour that was used as the Korban HaOmer. Mishnah Daled says as follows, Kitzaruhu. They harvested the barley in the field, Unesanu Bekupos, and those who were harvesting it put it into their respective baskets, Hevi Uhu LaAzara. Now they brought it straight to the Azara because the preparation and processing of that barley into fine flour is going to be done in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Hayu Mehav Hevin Oso Ba'or, and as part of the process, they would toast it, and this is the opinion of Rebbe Meir, they would toast it while it was still in the husk. So they did not remove the kernels yet. It was all done, toasted together, Kedei L'Kayem Bo Mitzvos Kali, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, as it says in the Pasuk, to toast the barley that was brought and being used for the Korban HaOmer. Divrei Rebbe Meir, that's the opinion of Rebbe Meir, that they kept it intact and whole when they toasted it. V'chachamim Omrim, that you would remove the kernels first and thereafter toasted. B'kanim of a klichot chovtino, so they would take, kanim means soft reeds, klichot would be the stems from a cabbage, so stuff that was soft in order to not break the kernels, chovtino, so they would hit it to remove the kernels. And why wouldn't they use something hard, like a hard stick, as would typically be used, kedei shelo yismaech, in order to not crush the kernels. They wanted those kernels to remain intact and whole. Now that they have the kernels, and this is still the opinion of Chachamim, because there was also a requirement to toast it, so now that they have the kernels, nesanu la'abuv, they would put it into a certain type of copper kli that was used for toasting grains, va'abuvaya menukavin, it had holes in it, so kidei shiea or sholet bekulo, so that the fire could get in and they could fulfill the obligation of toasting. So they have the kernels of the barley inside this kli, and this kli has holes throughout, perforations throughout, and the fire would get through and toast the kernels inside. Now that they have, either according to Rebbe Meir, they have the toasted gross amounts of the barley plants, the kernels included, or according to Chachamim, who they just have the kernels, shtachu ba'azara, they would spread out that whatever they toasted out in the azara, so on the floor of the azara throughout. Why? Ba'ruach min hashevesbo, so the wind would blow it and would dry it out, because they wanted dry kernels. Nisanuha berechaim shel garosos, they would put the kernels onto a mill that was used to grind beans and lentils. Behotziu mimenu isaron, and they would take an isaron, that's the amount that they needed, of fine flour, and that they would process it, shuminukem mishlosh esrei nafa, because they would take all of the, after they used that bean mill, they would take all of the flour and they would put it through 13 different levels of sieves. We've discussed this in a prior Mishnah, and it would start with the sieve with the larger holes, and then they would go to smaller holes and smaller holes until they were left with an isaron of fine flour. And now it says, "Vahashar niftev ne'echa lekol adam," what they had left over, because they only needed this isaron for the Korban HaOmer. So all of the other flour, because they started with three se'ah, they started with a huge amount of barley, of flour, and they whittled it down to get the finest flour down to an isaron. So what did they do with everything in excess of that isaron? That could be redeemed by anyone, and once they would redeem it, it would lose its status of having kedusha, wouldn't be owned by the hakdash anymore, and accordingly, v'ne'echa l'kol adam, and everyone was permitted to eat it, anyone who owned it, anyone who redeemed it could eat it, doesn't have the status of hakdash. So now that we have this, before we get to the isaron, we still have that, whatever anyone would redeem it, and we say they could eat it, the chayav b'chala, when they would knead it into a dough, they would be required to take off challah. This is because although it was owned by Hekdesh, and Hekdesh doesn't have to take off challah, but it was redeemed before it was made into a dough. So once it's made into a dough, it's no longer Hekdesh. Accordingly, the people who redeemed it, they are required to take off the challah. Upato mina masros, however, they are not required to take off the tithes, the masros, and that's because the trigger of when you're chayev in masros, it was still being owned by the Beis HaMikdash at that time. It was still hekdesh, because when you fully process grain, which was done, when it was still owned by the Beis HaMikdash, that's when the obligation to take off the masros kicks in, and accordingly, it was redeemed there afterward. And that's why masros do no longer have to be taken, because the obligation was when it was owned by Hekdesh. Masha Enkin, in contrast to the challah, that the obligation that kicked in when they made a dough, it was no longer owned by Hekdesh. Rabbi Akiva mechayev challah uve masros. Rabbi Akiva, he says they're chayev not only challah, as the Tanakhama said, but also in maestros. So why would it be chayev in maestros? Rabbi Akiva is of the view that when the Beis HaMikdash, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, went and bought the barley, he really wasn't interested in the full 3 se'ah amount of what he was buying. He only cared about the isaron that would be used as the korban haomer. So everything else, really, he wasn't paying for. That was never hekdesh, and accordingly, if it was never hekdesh, then there was never an exemption to the chiyuv of masra. So now that somebody has it and they want to use it, they have to take off not only challah, but maestros as well. And now what we have is we have that isaron. That isaron is what we are going to use to bring the korban haomer, ba'alo le'isaron. So we're going to the isaron, v'nasan shamno. You would add shemen, as we've learned in a prior Mishnah. There was an application of shemen 3 times, oil 3 times, when we are making and preparing a korban mincha. You put the oil first into clay shares before you put in anything else. So there's a little bit of oil that's put into the kli. And then ulavonasa, you would add the lavona on the side. And then you would thereafterward put the flour into the klishares. And then there were 2 additional applications of the oil. So yatzak, ubalal yatzak, as you did the second application of the oil, you mixed it and you made it into a dough. And then the Mishnah doesn't mention the third, but we have the third application. Once there's a dough, you put on oil a third time. And then haini, if we have the mitzvah of tenufa, we've discussed earlier in our perek and prior to that as well, the mitzvah of waving the korban haomer, so it was waved in all directions, the higish, the mitzvah, we talked about this as well, the mitzvah of touching it to the southwest corner of the mizbeach. And now that we have the isaron has been waved, it's also did the mitzvah of hagasha, touching it to the mizbeach, now we're taking off the kamas, the kamitza amount, the 3 fingers worth from the coin, would be taken off from it, and only that komets amount, vihigtir, would be burned on that Beis HaMikdash. So how about the balance of that isaron that was left over, that wasn't part of the komets, was not burned on the base, on the mizbeach, v'hashar nechal akonim, just like all the other examples of the korban mincha, when we take off the kamitza, we do the kamitza, take off the komets is burnt on the mizbeach, and the balance of it, the balance of the dough, is eaten by the kohanim. Mishnah Hay discusses the prohibition of chadash, which means that the new grains are prohibited to be eaten until, at the time we had a Beis HaMikdash, until the Korban HaOmer is actually brought on the 16th day of Nisan, which is the second day of Pesach. So we are talking in particular about the 5 grains, which are wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. They could not be eaten until the Korban HaOmer was actually brought. So the Mishnah says as follows, Mishakar VaOmer. At that time that the Korban HaOmer was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, Yotzin, if you would go out, Umotzin Shuk Yerushalayim, if you would go out and find in the Shuk in Yerushalayim, in the marketplaces, it was full of the new grain already. Shumalei Kemach, it was full of the new flour, Vakali, and toasted flour. Shalom Biratzon Chachamim Divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that Chazal were not happy with this. It's not that there's a prohibition to prepare the flour before Pesach, but there's a prohibition to eat it, and there was a concern that if it was already ready to go before the Korban HaOmer was brought on the second day of Pesach, people may come to eat it. So Rabbi Meir was of the view that this preparation, all the preparation, should not have happened before the bringing of the Korban HaOmer, because people may come to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Biratzon Chachamim Ayuosim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says Chazal were on board with this. They were not concerned. People may come to eat it. it was understood that there's no prohibition to prepare it. There is a prohibition to eat it, and accordingly, Chazal were not concerned people would come to eat it until the Korban Omer was actually brought. And Mishikar of Omer, once that happened, once the Omer was actually brought in the base of Mikdash, Hutar HaChadash Miad, immediately the Chadash could be eaten. Right then, it could be eaten because it was the Korban Omer that actually triggered the heter to eat of the new grain, to eat the chadash v'arachokim. How about if you weren't right by the base of Mikdash? So you didn't know if the Korban HaOmer had been brought or not. So v'arachokim, people who live further away, mutari mechatzos hayom ulahalan, they just have to wait till midpoint in the day, chatzos hayom, and then from then and thereafter, they were permitted. So they can't do it in the morning because they didn't know for sure, but thereafter, they would be permitted. Mi shechara beis hamikdash, once the beis hamikdash was destroyed, so we're not bringing the Korban HaOmer anymore, so what happens with the heter? When could you start eating the chadash, the new grain? So the default would be, if you don't have the Korban HaOmer to permit it, then it could be, you're not waiting for the Korban HaOmer, it could be permitted immediately from the early morning of the second day of Pesach, so the 16th of Nisan. Nonetheless, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Azaki, Rabbi Yochanan Azaki instituted Shiye Yom Hanef Kulo Asur, that the entire Yom Hanef, which means the day of waving, that is referring to the Korban HaOmer, which was waved on the 16th of Nisan. He said the whole day, we're instituted, the whole day is going to be prohibited. Amar Rabbi Yehuda responds, what do we need Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to institute that? V'alo mina Torah wasar. Isn't it prohibited by the Torah? The Torah tells us, Shenemar ad etzem ha-yom hazeh, until this very day, which means that when we have the Korban HaOmer, this is the drush on the pasuk, when we have the Korban HaOmer, it's the Korban HaOmer, once it's brought, that permits the eating of the chadash, but if we don't have the Korban HaOmer, you have to wait till this etzem day. The entire day would have to pass in order to permit the chadash. So the Torah prohibits eating chadash the entire day. Why do we need Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to institute a prohibition? The Mishnah does not answer that, but the Gemara does answer that, and see there for the answer. Mibnei Ma. Now we're going back to the issue of when we had a base of Mikdash, we mentioned that those people who are further away, they would wait until Chatzos. So why can they assume that at Chatzos, the Kohanim brought the Korban HaOmer? Why didn't they have to wait the whole day? Mibnei Ma HaRachokim Mutarim HaChatzos HaYom Ulahalim. Why would we permit at the time of the Beis HaMikdash that from Chatzos HaYom, Chadash, grain would be permitted? Even for those who didn't know, they live far away, they didn't know if the Korban HaOmer had actually been brought or not. Mibnei Shein Yodim, Shein Beis Din Mit Atzlim. But they knew the Beis Din, they knew in Yerushalayim that the Beis Din HaGadol, the Chazal, and the Kohanim, they would not be lazy about it. They know that they were on their game. The Kohanim were not lazy, and accordingly, they knew that the Korban HaOmer would for certain be brought by midday, Chatzos HaYom, and accordingly, they were permitted to have the Chadash thereafter. Mishnah Vav is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we discuss the Isser of Chadash, which means that until the Korban HaOmer is brought on the second day of Pesach, it was not permitted to eat of the new grains. And now we're going to talk about use of the Chadash, the new grains, in the Beis HaMikdash. And what we're going to see is that there are going to be limitations not only from the time of Pesach, but that's going to continue all the way up until Shavuos. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaOmer HaYamatir BaMedina, the bringing of the Korban HaOmer on the second day of Pesach would permit the eating of the new grains. BaMedina means in all places, Ushte HaLechem BaMikdash. However, you had to wait until the bringing of the Korban Shtei HaLechem, which was brought on Shavuos, in order to permit the use of the new grains in the Beis HaMikdash. And continuing in that vein, Ein Mivin Menachos, it was not permitted to bring flour for the Korban Mincha. Ubikurim, Bikurim is the mitzvah to bring of the first fruits, and it applies to the seven minim that Eretz Yisrael was praised about, but because only two of them are grains, only two of them, which is wheat and barley, we're talking about wheat and barley in particular, so you can't bring the bikurim, the new fruits, grains, Minchas Behemah. Now, the third thing is the Minchas Behemah is also called the Minchas Nesachim, which is the flour component that is brought together with an animal offering. All three of those, Kodim LaOmer, it would not be permitted to bring any of those before the bringing of the Korban HaOmer on the second day of Pesach, Vim Hevi Pasul. And if you did bring any of those from the new grain, but you hadn't brought the Korban HaOmer yet, it would totally invalidate that offering. Continuing, Kodim L'Shtei Alechem, and how about between the second day of Pesach when you brought the Korban HaOmer and Shavuos, when you brought the Shtei Alechem, still Lo Yavi, you still can't bring those items, those korbanos, those offerings, that's the menachos and the bikurim and the minchas behemah. They cannot be brought from the chadash, the new grain, but there is a difference. If you brought it before Pesach, it would be totally invalid. And when you bring it after Pesach, before Shavuos, Kodem L'Shtei Alechem, Lo Yavi, if you brought it before the Shtei Alechem, which is in that time period between Pesach and Shavuos, Shtei Alechem is brought on Shavuos, don't bring it. But if Bidiyavid Vimhevi, if you did bring it, then it's going to be kosher, then it is going to be acceptable. So we see a difference in the use of the Chadash. The Chadash is permitted for everyone to eat in all places as soon as the Korban HaOmer is brought on the second day of Pesach. However, it cannot be used in the Beis HaMikdash until the Shtei Alechem is brought on Shavuos. However, if the Chadash was used between Pesach and Shavuos, it is going to be acceptable on a Bidiyavid level. Mishnah Zayin continues talking about various aspects of the Isser of Chadash. And in fact, we're going to broaden the discussion now. And when it comes to the Isser of Chadash, that applies when we are talking about the five different types of grains, referred to as the Chamisha Mine Dagan. And in fact, there's another halacha that relates specifically to the five grains, which we will list shortly, and that is the chiyuv to take off challah. When we have a batter, when we have a dough that we are making from any one or more of the five grains, we're going to have an obligation to take off challah from that if we have a minimum amount of the flour that is being used. So the Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Zayin, Achitim. When it comes to wheat, when it comes to flour from wheat, b'ha-se'orin, and from barley, b'ha-kusmin, when spelt, v'shibolet shul, oats, v'ha-shipon, and rye, all of those, when you make it into a dough, and it has the minimum amount, it's going to be chayavin b'chala. You have to take off chala. And in fact, it's not only if you make a dough from one or the other, but if you use the grains together, they can join together, combine, in order to have the minimum threshold, the minimum amount, such that it will be obligated in challah as well. Umitzdarf min zeimzeh, they will be aggregated together, as long as they are kneaded together as a dough, and as long as we hit that threshold, there is the obligation to take off challah. So that is vis-a-vis the halacha of challah. Now we're going to get back into the context of chadash. That also applies when we are talking about these five grains. Va'asurin bechadash milifnei pesach. When we say that there's a isra chadash using the new grain, we're talking about these five grains, and that it applies before Pesach until the second day of Pesach. There's the isra chadash umiliksar lifnei omer. Not only is there a prohibition to eat of the chadash grain, but there is also a prohibition to harvest the new grains before the Korban HaOmer is brought. As we'll see in Mishnah Ches, this will not apply to all types of grains, most types of grains, but to not all types of grains. And accordingly, we're going to need to understand that in order to refer back to Mishnah He. In Mishnah He, we discussed that when the Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach, that you could go out into the marketplaces of Yerushalayim, and they were full of kamach. They were full of flour, and full of toasted flour. And now that we are seeing in our Mishnah that there was a prohibition to harvest before the bringing of the Korban HaOmer, we are asking the question, how is it possible that immediately upon bringing the Korban HaOmer on the second day of Pesach, immediately they brought out the flour because it had all been prepared before Pesach? How is that possible? Is there's an Isser to harvest, even to harvest the wheats and the grains, etc., before the bringing of the Korban HaOmer? And the answer is because it is talking about in Mishneh Hay the specific types of grains that were not prohibited, as we will explain in Mishneh Ches, but they were not permitted to bring out the type of grains that had the Isser to be harvested. And that's what we're talking about right now in our Mishnah, that the most of the grains, there was a prohibition not only to eat that chadash before the bringing of the korban on Omer, but also to harvest any of that grain milifnei Omer before bringing the korban on Omer. Continuing now, we're going to want to define when we say that the new grain becomes permitted with the bringing of the korban on Omer on the second day of Pesach. What grains does that apply to? And we're going to see here that in order to permit it, it had to have taken root. So when we're talking about the five grains, we're only talking about if they took root before the bringing of the Korban HaOmer, then that Korban HaOmer will permit them as Chadash. Otherwise, it will not be permitted until the next year with the next bringing of the Korban HaOmer on the next Pesach. So it says in the Mishnah, Vim Hishrishu Korban HaOmer, as long as the grains we're talking about took root before the bringing of the Korban HaOmer, HaOmer Matiran, that Korban HaOmer will permit the eating of those grains. The im lav, however, if they did not take root before the bringing of the Korban HaOmer, asuri not shiavo Omer Habaya, they are going to be prohibited until the Korban HaOmer Haba, which is the next year, second day of Pesach. Mishnah Ches continues to discuss the Isser of Ktsira, of harvesting grain of the five grains before the Korban HaOmer is brought on the second day of Pesach. And in particular, it's going to be bring two exceptions to the rule that it was indeed permitted to harvest even before Pesach. So Mishnah Ches says as follows, Kostrim Beis Hashlochim Shaba'amakim will be permitted before Pesach to harvest an irrigated field that it is in a valley. Irrigated fields do not have the same quality yield as a non-irrigated field, a field that doesn't require irrigation. So accordingly, because an irrigated field in a valley would have low quality grain that cannot be used for the Korban HaOmer, it would be permitted to harvest it before Pesach, but not to eat it. Accordingly, because you can't eat it yet, Avalo Godshim Chazal did not permit them to pile them up, because there was a concern then people may come to eat it, and let's only permit what's necessary. For example, you would be permitted if your grain is going to go bad, if it's ripe, and it's in that irrigated field. Chazal were lenient in that situation, but to go the next step and pile it up, Chazal said that that would not be acceptable. Anshe Yericho, Kotrim Birtzon Chachamim, based on the halacha we just brought, Anshe Yericho, they would harvest their fields, and we're talking about from irrigated fields that didn't have the good quality, high quality grain that was necessary for the Korban HaOmer. We're talking now about barley, so it just didn't have the good quality. So Chazal were on board with that. However, they were vegochin shelo beratzon chachamim. They did the second step as well. They would pile up the grain. Chazal were not happy with that. However, v'lo michu biadam chachamim, Chazal did not rebuke them for that. Now we have a second exception to the rule that despite the fact that there's a prohibition to harvest before Pesach, it's a prohibition to harvest before the Korban HaOmer is brought. However, if you would harvest unripe grain for use of your animals, for feeding to your animals, that would not be considered harvesting grain, because it has two things in its favor. Number one, it's unripe. And number two, it is for purposes of animals, not people. You cannot harvest unripe grain for people, but for animals would be mutar, kotzer, lashachas. It's permitted to harvest unripe grain, beema, and feed it to the animals, even though it's before the Korban HaOmer has been brought. And now we're going to define what that means. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ema, say, what are we talking about that it's permitted? Bizman shehischil ad shlo hevia shlis, as long as you started harvesting before the last third of ripeness has been reached. So even though it was almost two-thirds ripe, but it hasn't reached into the last third of ripeness. As long as you started before, you can continue into it, even though you can continue harvesting when it is ripening in the last third. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon is of the view, af yiksor v'achil af mishevi'a shlish, you can start, not only finish, but you can even start as long as there's a third left, and even if there's less than a third left of ripeness to go, as long as the grain, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not fully ripe, you can indeed harvest it before the bringing of the Korban Omer, as long as it's for use in feeding your animals. All of this, again, is in the second exception, as long as it's not fully ripe, and as long as it's going to be used specifically for feeding the animals, not for feeding people. Mishnah test continues the prior Mishnah and discusses other times when the new grain, the Chadash grain, can be harvested before the bringing of the Korban HaOmer. Mishnah test says as follows, Kotzri mipnei hanetios, is permitted to harvest the new grain even before Pesach when that grain is growing next to young trees. And because it's growing next to young trees, it's going to be low quality such that it cannot be used for the Korban HaOmer anyway, so that grain can be harvested before Pesach. Next, Mipnei Beis HaEvel. If you need to make space in order to be Menachem Avelim, in order to console those who are sitting in mourning, so you need to remove the grain from there. This is called the Tzorach Mitzvah, for a mitzvah need, so we would be permitted to harvest before Pesach as well. And similarly, Mipnei Bittul Beis HaMedrash, in order to avoid wasting time of the best space medrash. What it's talking about is they needed more room for people to learn, and they didn't have the space, so we'll be permitted to remove the grain, to harvest the grain even before Pesach in order to supply the room for the Talmidim to learn. Continuing, lo yase osam krichos, even in these situations that it is permitted to harvest before Pesach, as we just listed, do not tie them into bundles. Simply of al manichan svasim, you should leave them in untied piles. Chazal were concerned if we let the workers tie them into bundles, then they're going to get so accustomed to dealing with the grain, and they are going to come to eat the grain. Accordingly, just do what's necessary. Don't tie it into bundles. Leave it there in piles, and you're doing what you need to do in order to remove it from the field, but don't go any further. And now we're going to have more halachas as it relates to the Korban HaOmer, Mitzvah HaOmer, Lavomin HaKama. The ideal way to bring the Korban HaOmer, the Mitzvah of the Omer, is to bring it from standing grain. So that would be the ideal when the grain is still attached, and you should harvest it with the kavana, with the intent that you're going to be using this for the Korban HaOmer. And as we've discussed in the past, we're talking about on Motzei Yontif, so right after the first day of Pesach. This is going to be turning into the 16th of Nisan, so the second day of Pesach, that is when they would harvest it. So it should be harvested from the standing grain. However, lo matzah, but if you didn't find any, so somebody had gone and already harvested the grain, and it's already been harvested, yavi min ha'amarim b'dievid, it would be okay if you bring from bundles that had already been harvested, even if they weren't harvested with the intent that this grain would be used for the Korban HaOmer. Continuing, mitzvah salavah min alach, ideally, the mitzvah, the preferred method is to bring it from moist and fresh grain, lo matzah, but if you didn't find, you can bring it from dry grain. The mitzvah is to harvest it from the night. It's talking about the beginning of the 16th at night. That's the beginning of the second day of Pesach. However, niktzar bayom, if they didn't do it at night, they only waited until the day of the 16th, kasher b'dievid, it would still be acceptable. And in addition, v'docha as a Shabbos, you would be able to bring the Korban HaOmer, you'd be able to offer it, you'd be able to burn the chometz portion of it, that's the three fingers that you take off from the Korban HaOmer, burn it on the base, on the Mizbeach, that would be all permitted if the second day of Pesach, when we bring the Korban HaOmer, if it falls on Shabbos, the Korban HaOmer would override the Shabbos.